Nice to hear you. Thank you. Again, my name is Pat, and I am a grateful believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I will just make comments on that verse, on those verses. It was Ephesians chapter 3, and the reading itself, really, just to hear it again, makes me think about what they say about the Word of God. The Bible itself says about itself that the Word of God is powerful and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. And even though I've read this and I've heard it read, even heard it read this morning, just hearing it read again, really touched my heart and helped me to hear other things and to learn more as I read it. But one of the things that Paul is talking about, especially in the first six verses, he's talking to the Gentiles in the church. And the Gentiles in the church, of course, this was very, very new, because Paul, who was Jewish, and the first Christians were Jewish, and they were part of the promise that God had made to send a Messiah. And the people who knew about this were Jewish. The Jewish people knew that God had promised a Messiah, and they were looking for that Messiah. In fact, that is what most Jewish, Orthodox Jews are looking for today. They're looking for the Messiah because they do not accept that Jesus is the Messiah. But Paul is telling these listeners at that time that this mystery that has been revealed to him is that, as it says in verse 6, both Gentiles and Jews who believe in the good news share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. Reading the Bible, I have learned that God chose the Jewish people not because of their righteousness or that they were better than other people. He chose them because of a need that he had. The need that he had is that he wanted to demonstrate what obedience would bring about, that if a people were totally devoted to him and were obedient, then he would bless them beyond their knowledge. They would not have, they just could not even imagine how much he would bless them. And so he set up covenants with them, set up a covenant that they would follow him and that they would, you know, do the things that he asked them to do, and that he would bless them beyond all measure. But always they knew that a Messiah was going to come and restore what was lost. The problem, though, is that the Jewish nation had a short view of what was lost. They believed that what was lost was their land and the promised land and all that the Lord had given to them. But what the Father was speaking of in terms of what was lost was what had happened when Adam and Eve sinned. That they had lost that fellowship with God that was so sweet. And that in order to have that restored, the price of their sin and the sin of the world had to be paid for. And in the Old Testament, it used to be that the payment was done by the blood of animals. Pure sheep and lambs and rams were sacrificed so that sin could be forgiven. But when the sins were forgiven, it was only done for a season. They had to do it again. And so God himself became that lamb. Since blood was necessary for forgiveness, God came down as a man, and he became our Savior. He became the one who went to the cross on our behalf. And what that has done is that it has opened up the gates of heaven for anyone who will make that exception, who will accept Jesus as Lord. And what happens when a person accepts Jesus as Lord, the Bible says, is that the Holy Spirit comes and lives within him. And the Holy Spirit lives within the believer, but he also lives in the world. And that is the Spirit that drew me to God. My story was that I had been in a church since I was, even before I was born, knowing my mom, I was in a church before that. And my mother and my, both my mother and my father were churchgoers and took me to church, and I was even baptized as a baby. And it wasn't until I got older and walked away from my faith and walked away from church and only came back actually when I started having children, but not even coming back with any understanding or having my heart really given to the Lord. What happened was that I joined 12-step programs, and in the 12-step rooms, I had a hard time when they were talking about higher power, because I felt that was something that I didn't understand, and I had kind of put it off to the side of something that I didn't want to even have to deal with. And I really didn't deal with it for quite a long time, even in the 12-step rooms. But I got abstinent in 1987. I found a way to finally learn the skills of weighing and measuring my food without exception. And I started experiencing long-term abstinence. And in my 4 years of abstinence, my fourth year of abstinence, a strange thing started happening, and that was I got into extreme fear that I was going to break my abstinence inadvertently, that I was going to do something and lose it. And so I was told to cry out to the Lord, to cry out to him, which I did. And I was led to Christian radio, and on Christian radio, that was where I heard the good news. And the good news of the Bible is the gospel of the Bible. And the gospel is that God himself came down as a man, and he became the sacrificial lamb that actually paid the penalty of all the sins of mankind. And all that man had to do was to reach out to him and to take the gift. Like someone says, if someone's holding out a gift for you, and if you don't take it, it's still not yours. And by this time, I realized what was going on, because I had been in a 12-step program for so long. And I realized, yes, this is it, because that is what I'm talking about, this character defect, these things that keep coming up, and I can't erase them. And because I tried a lot of things. I tried doing many inventories, giving them away, going to step meetings, and having AWOLs, and still not being able to wash away that apartness that I was feeling. And it wasn't until in 1991, 4 years of abstinence, and I heard on the radio the gospel, where it said that you need to make a decision if you're going to follow Jesus. And you tell him that, and you tell the world that, you know, that he is your Lord, he is your Savior. And I did that. I just knelt in my room, and I just said, you know, Jesus, you know, you're my Savior. I am a sinful person. I cannot wash away my sins on my own. And I accept your gift to me. And that small act just opened up such a wonderful life for me. No one has to really tell me that the Holy Spirit took control, because I know He did. He led me to so many things that helped me to grow. And the big thing, one of the big things, was that I got such a peace that no longer was I worried and running around and worried about whether my abstinence and whether I was going to drop and blah, 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 be dropped. I knew I got an understanding that God wanted me abstinent, and that Jesus, you know, calling on the name of the Lord, that I would stay abstinent one day at a time. And I, after that, I felt a lot like what Paul did in 7 and 8. He said, I have been given the privilege of serving Him by spreading the good news. And he said, I am the least deserving of all of God's people. And boy, do I knew I felt that way a lot of times, because I could think back to things that I did that were so ungodly and so shameful. And yet, the Lord chose to save me. And so I was so, I so identify with that verse in Ephesians. And so through 13, Paul is telling the Gentiles that they too are part of the promise. And so I'm very grateful. And he says a very nice thing in verse 12. He says, because of Christ and our faith in Him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. And I know that's true. My prayers took on a whole different dimension once I accepted Jesus as my Lord. How amazing to me. And I, because of Jesus, I can approach the Father with both boldness and confidence. Very grateful for that. And then the last part of this reading in chapter 3 is such a touching part. It's a part where Paul is praying for the believers. And he says in verse 14, when I think of all of this, thinking about what the Lord has done, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father. And God certainly humbles me like that a lot of times. I'm just overwhelmed at His mercy. And in verse 15 and 16, he says, the Creator of everything in heaven and on earth, I pray that from His glorious, unlimited resources, He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. I am made strong through the Spirit of God, that I can call on Him at all times to give me strength to show up for my life and to show His light in the lives of others. Verse 17, Paul says, Christ will make His home in your hearts as you trust Him. And early in my Christian walk, I'm so grateful for the wisdom of a person who encouraged me to read through the Bible every year. And that I have really tried to be very faithful in doing that. Reading through His Word every day has helped me to have a clearer understanding of this faith gift that I have been given. In the end of verse 7, he says, your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. There was used to be a little reading in the AA book, the 24 Hours a Day book, and it talked about a flower and how the flower shoots up, and if it doesn't have roots, it can be crowded, and eventually, you know, the person can just get exhausted and overwhelmed by people, you know, coming to him and or her. And it was that image of needing that flower, needing to put roots down deep, so that when people are attracted to that flower, you know, that they survive. And I know that that is so true, because what happened in abstinence is that I started having the ability not just abstinence, I should say abstinence and combined with my faith. You know, I just started to have an extreme confidence in seeing myself doing things that I never even imagined that I would do. Good things, I mean. And I could get into much anxiety if not for the presence of the God Spirit that lives in me. Paul goes on in 18 and says he's hoping that the believers will have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:9 that eye has not seen, or ear has not heard, and mind has not perceived what God has prepared for those who love him. And so as I love him, as I show my love by studying his word and through his Spirit, following his word, that's how I show my love, then he opens up just miraculous gifts for me each and every day. And the least of this is certainly not abstinence. I mean, that's not the least. That's one of the biggies for me. It makes me get on my knees every morning and just thank him that he keeps me abstinent, you know, one day at a time. He gives me work for my hands and ministry, you know, for my soul. I'm grateful for what he does for me in that. But I'm going to stop there.